Let's take a vote this morning. I like that. Okay, show of hands, how many of you want us to us all gather together and worship? Just show of hands. Do you want to worship this morning? All right, we've almost at, we have a majority. Good. Let's go ahead and stand. Praise you, Lord God. We're here to worship you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
By popular vote and also by mandate. And we're excited, Lord. I know as a worship team, Lord, you've been sweet this morning, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that it would be contagious, Lord, that it would pour out to our brothers and sisters here. And then it would spill out through the doors over across to McDonald's. They'd be serving it up in a glass. Care for some joy, sir? Yes, thank you. Want to worship the living God? Yes, sir. I'll take a supersize of that. Thank you. I think God's really done his part. I mean, I think we've enjoyed yesterday, right? Wasn't it beautiful? Everybody's out there bicycling. I gardened. And I'm sure there's great plans today. But it's God's creation, isn't it? We're going to worship him. We won't be outdone by the rocks and stones. As Kent so graciously found for me in Luke, where... Well, actually, it's not really the reference I'm looking for, quite frankly. There's a reference, and where is that in Scripture where it says, you know, if we don't praise, the rocks and stones will cry out. Not just rocks and stones, but the all creations cries out his glory. But, you know, God gave us a choice, didn't he? He gave us the ability to choose to love him or not love him, to praise him or not praise him. I'm going to praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy of praise, Lord. calls me friend. Let that sink in a moment. You know, I'm so thankful that God is God we can speak with, we can draw close to, the creator of the universe. You know, we don't understand, but God in his mercy and grace reaches out to us, and he's my friend. I'm going to supersize my joy this morning. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. There's that choice again. Be outdone by creation. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, my brother. Thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Know this?
Oh Lord, I know how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, I know how majestic is your name in all the
that again.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name.
Oh, man.
our God. Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great. Our God, sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God.
And God's given him this huge job, and they've crossed over already. And so he's there, and he looks up and he sees this angel. It's like, oh my gosh, are you for me or against me? And he says, neither. I am for the Lord. And then the angel instructs him to take off his shoes for where he's standing in holy ground. And that's what God told Moses at the burning bush. So God was there because it was holy ground. And then Joshua gets his instructions on what to do. And you know what happens? Jericho, boom, is down. And they go straight in. And they did the simplest of things. They followed the Lord's directions to the T for 1 week, and it was over. And the promises were found out. So what the Lord has said to me the past couple days through that is just do what I've asked you to do. I'm already there. They must have been surrounded by God's holy angels. Heaven only knows what they were doing in that week. But all God's people had to do was obey. March around the city. March around the city. So if you feel like your leader's left you, God hasn't. And if he's calling you up, he's preparing you to take the city.
Because of your love, Lord God, that we sing this morning. Holy
yes.
God. Now there's just been a sweetness all morning long. I just feel like there's a coming, there's an emerging word here. Maybe it's already being spoken to our hearts, but it's super sweet. And how about this?
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. And I will praise you.
I will praise you.
Consider the name Adonai. It is the plural of Adon, meaning Lord, 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 Master, Owner. The word Adon can refer to men and angels as well as the Lord God of Israel. God is called the Lord of Lords. Lord of Lords. Lord of Lords. Let's go ahead and stand for this.
There is like him, the lion and the lamb. Bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Sing praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints. Like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roar to the Lord of.
From the rise. Yeah, I appreciated your word, TR. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit tired of the headlines in the paper saying the same thing about every other day, about, you know, different ways of how bad the economy is, and I think the latest was that Oregon has the second highest unemployment rate in the nation, second only to Michigan, and the indication of the article was that, and if we, you know, continue to our ways, we're get to take over that top spot, and I just it's certainly not that we need to escape reality, but sometimes I just feel like what needs to be reminded is, hey, with God, everything is impossible. God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that sees and provides. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll let reality, you know, the some of the issues that are true supersede the Word of God, which is the truth, exactly. And so I thought it would be good for us to take a moment or two and just declare the word of the Lord. I know that it's been a couple of months ago. I felt like the Lord really spoke to my heart about the reminder to be sensitive to prophesy, and we take words like that, and we kind of sometimes make them, not to minimize its importance, but make it bigger as though it's something that we have to kind of like hold our face or our mouth just right and kind of force ourselves into some kind of super spiritual attitude instead of just being sensitive. More than anything, it's not just a sensitivity, but it's an obedience to speak the word of the Lord. And it was a couple opportunities that the Lord gave me to speak into people's lives, and then a surprise. I was at a gathering, and someone just that I'd never met. In fact, I'd never met this individual. Comes up to me and just come up just right, just straightforward, as though he knew me. But more than that, it was like, you know, he had something on his mind, and he did. He has said, the Lord wanted me to speak to you, and went on to speak a strong word and of encouragement and prophecy in my life. And I just thought, thank you, Lord. And it was almost like the Lord was saying, you know, you see the benefit of receiving a word that is spoken with authority and with intentionality. And well, yes, Lord, I kind of knew that, but it's like I knew it, but I needed to know it personally. And Leela was mentioning just even the Giovanni, the vision that she had been given for Giovanni, who is 4 years old, and so it's not just that we would kind of overlook the kids as though this is something that we would speak to adults only, but the need to speak to whom the Lord is leading. And I wonder if sometimes that's really more of the focus that needs to be, you know, speaking the Word of God into not just our own children, but children that God puts in our path. And the way the month began was very special anyhow, with the Palm Sunday, celebrating with our Egyptian brothers and sisters, and having Brother Joseph, got to read his, what was his last name? Nasrallah, Joseph Nasrallah, and Sadiq Abdelmasi. And didn't you love just hearing, you know, what God's doing in the Middle East and through our Egyptian brothers and sisters, and let's see, that whole, then that week followed with Holy Week, or that kind of kicked off Holy Week and culminating with Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I just, my suspicion is that God was speaking some fairly significant things in many of your, if not all of you. And just take a few moments to speak God's encouragement, maybe God's instruction, God's leading, maybe a word of prophecy. Anyone? Yes, Juliana. And I know that the Lord is, just even in our gatherings, it's so easy to, I mean, especially when you feel the pressure of, and it may not be a consuming pressure, but you're just, you're aware that the clock is ticking. There's a group of us gathering, and, you know, we've got, you know, a few things. We got to start a certain time, or, you know, that's kind of the announced time, and we got to worship and then kind of move through. And it's, in other words, it's difficult anyhow to wait. Anybody besides me, you know, it's just difficult to wait. It's just, you know, there's stuff to do, and I'm not going to get everything done as it is. But if I don't get a move on, it's even going to be less stuff, or for whatever reason, and so it's difficult by nature to be patient and to wait, and especially in a public gathering, it's tough to just take a few moments and have an extended time of worship, or where we would just allow a little quietness to come in, where we could maybe give the Lord opportunity to speak, or to give clarity, or to remind us of certain things. And you know, the example that Julie gave earlier, I actually want to make reference at the end of the service to that as well, but it so parallels, right, you know, what you were, yeah, just making reference there out of. Yeah. And it's so foreign, because it's so opposite. I mean, the walls of Jericho were just, with some of our artillery that we would have today, would have difficulty penetrating those walls, let alone, you know, some 4,000, 3,500 years ago. And, I mean, how many spears do you think, you know, how many, you know, even if you got a catapult, and, I mean, there would be stuff you could do, but just the simple obedience to, okay, Lord, what's the plan? You know, what? You know, that listening, that waiting, and then the obedience. Let's jump into the Word a little bit deeper this morning. By the way, I don't know if this was in the bulletin. In fact, I'm sure it is. Is regarding the dental van that's going to be here in a couple weeks. I just want to make sure, is that in there? Just make sure it's an opportunity. We get to team with Love Inc. and they're sponsoring this, but we get to host, and our part is to be here to greet people and to provide lunch and such. And so there are many opportunities for, as Juliana mentioned, to serve and to really have opportunity to welcome and speak into people's lives, just by our smile and Freudian slip there, maybe, I don't know. But anyhow, I trust that you're, if your schedule doesn't allow, perhaps you could participate in helping with the preparing of the lunches and such. We've, in the last couple of months, been studying the book of First Peter, and particularly the way it begins, the living hope that that Peter makes reference to, the living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the inheritance that can never perish, and how we're shielded by God's power. And we've seen how, you know, Peter has gone from he could use a lot of different words to describe his before and after, but this would be a great day to go on a motorcycle ride, wouldn't it? I know what you're thinking. Help me, Lord. Maybe you want to crack that window. Well, just a little, it lets the noise in, but it also lets a little air flow through. Maybe just a little bit more. But it's one thing for you to fall asleep when I'm preaching. It's another thing for me to fall asleep. So that'd be really sad. But, you know, here's, we've seen Peter come from such a, you could use the term, you know, misfit, to here he is really head of the church and writing. And want to pick up where we left off last week, primarily with Peter. Last week we were at the empty tomb in the garden. And remember, it was one of those rare non-typical Peter moments where he said nothing, at least nothing as recorded. And he saw the empty tomb, but like John, he believed. And then let's fast forward to just a maybe a week, maybe two later, and Peter decides, I think this is one of the moments where we don't know what to do, but our eyes are not on you. I don't know. Peter decides to return to fishing. In fact, in the Greek, it says he's telling the five or six other disciples that are with him, I go a fishing. And they, yeah, we're with you. We'll go with you. And by the way, you know, there's a little bit of distance. I mean, it's Jerusalem is considerable distance to the south, and they've gone to the north, the northern shore where they first started there, on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they're out there fishing, and not really accomplishing a whole lot. In fact, they're accomplishing nothing, because pretty soon they hear this voice from the shore. Hey, how's it going out there? You catching anything? No, nothing. Not yet. Hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. This is John chapter 21. And they did. And by at that moment, the scripture doesn't say right away that they realized, but you think at that moment they might have thought, well, that's a familiar sounding voice. And they do. They throw their nets on the other side, and we know what happens. The nets are so full of fish that they have a hard time bringing them in. And what does the scripture say there in John 21? John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon, here's Peter back to full form. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment. This is verse 7? he wrapped his outer garment around him, and the disciple, and let's see, where is he? And he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They weren't far from shore. I guess I want to just stop here for a few moments and just ask you, What are you doing? What kind of question is that? Listening. What? I saw that. Maybe a little bit more specific. You know, where are you fishing? Not where are you ripping, but maybe that too. Where are you fishing? Or where are you perhaps doing stuff in your own strength? Do you need to hear, like the disciples, what would be the implied voice of the Lord? I'm going back to now to John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. Where do you need to hear that word this morning? Without me, you can do nothing. I was thinking this would be a good time to just stop and pray. Lord, my prayer would be that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Maybe some of us are offshore or off base a ways. Lord, help us to hear you and recognize your voice. Lord, would you forgive us for our impatience, for not waiting for you, for not trusting you, for not looking to you? Lord, we do. We quiet our hearts this morning and we listen for your voice and for your leading. Like Joe quoting Jehoshaphat. Lord, we put our eyes, we look to you. We think we know what to do sometimes, but Lord, this morning we're looking to you. Amen? Don't keep your eyes closed. I'm going to think you're asleep. At least you would have a good excuse. I'm not asleep, I'm just listening.
Soaking it in.
Soaking it in.
What does it say, keep your eyes open and pray?
Yeah, maybe so. Sometimes that's true. So then a little bit later, let's pick up the, in fact, I'll just read it right out of the text. This is beginning with verse 15. By the way, 14 says, this was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, not Peter, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Perhaps referring to the disciples, keeping in mind that he had, hey, not me. I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you. Even though the rest of these guys probably will, or at least they might. Not me. Perhaps that's what Jesus is making reference to. Do you truly love me more than these? And catch the change that is taking place. I mean, you caught it in the tomb. You caught his just slower to speak. Catch the change that's occurring in Peter. Just a simple response, Lord. What does he say? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, Simon, do you truly love me? And he answered again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus, take care of my sheep. You know, much has been made of the different Greek words that are not just in reference to the words love, but in the words feed and tend. You know, there's some goes back and forth, and you know the implication, perhaps referencing that you know the Lord is saying, you know, do, because the word is agapa, do you love me, agapao, the agape love, and Peter says, well, yes, Lord. You know that I phileo you. You know that I like you a whole lot. But you know, whatever you want, that's phileo, the brotherly, the great affection. But maybe not the extent. And perhaps, you know, perhaps that what is being communicated is that Peter, who has been used to making these grandiose statements and making great claims and great boasts, is, you know, I don't know if I could really say that I agapao you, that I really love you to the extent that you're asking, but I do love you. And he didn't really even answer, you know, with reference. He didn't even make the boast about, and with regard to these guys, way more than these guys. I mean, I love you. It was just, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus is saying, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. Take care of my sheep. The third time Jesus says to Peter, he says, Simon, do you, and then the word changes here. Do you phileo me? And it's like, again, perhaps the implication is that he's even accepting the extent of the love that Peter is offering. Do you phileo me? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know all things. Or and it's not so much that you know everything, it's I know you know. Because remember, he says, you're going to deny me. Ah, not me. You know, and Peter now knows, Lord, you know more than I know. This is the extent that I'm able to commit to, that I'm able to confess at this point. And Jesus says to Peter again, feed my sheep. And then he goes on to say, I tell you the truth, that when you were younger, and what now he's making reference to is really the kind of death that Peter is going to experience, or the result of following him. He says, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And then he said to him, but follow me. And then Peter, you get the lapsing a bit, true to form here. Listen to what he says. And Peter turned and saw that the disciple, you know, John, was following them. And Peter saw him and says, Lord, what about Bob? I mean, what about John? Sorry. What about John? And Jesus, it's a rebuke. He says, hey, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? But you must follow me. In other words, hey, you follow me and you let John follow me. If I'm going to take him, you know, someplace completely different, then what is that? That's none of your business. Your job, eyes on me, listening to me, following me. Boy, that is a strong word. That is a strong word. And if there's a word that you and I need to be reminded of repeatedly, it's, you know, attention or eyes all in front, please, or more accurately, look up. Don't let your eyes and your focus be on anything else. You will be tripped up. It's one thing to incur suffering for doing the right thing. It's another thing to incur suffering for not. Oh. I hate it when I have unnecessarily suffered for doing what I want to do, wanting my own way. Didn't even count. So Jesus is, I'll finish, I'll read the text. I tend to leave off. Let me just read the last of it. Because of this, the rumor spread among we're just so quick to make assumptions the disciple would not die until Jesus returned. And the scripture says, scripture says that Jesus said, only that if I want him to remain alive until I return, you know, what is that to you? And then John kind of signs off. He says, this is a testimony of the things that I saw, and I wrote them down as I saw them, and we know that this testimony is true. And then he makes another comment that we know that Jesus did a whole lot of other things, and if I were to write them all down, or if somebody were to write them all down, there wouldn't be enough books to contain them. In other words, Jesus did a lot. We have just a small portion of what Jesus accomplished. But what I wanted to do, just to kind of pull things together here this morning, is just acknowledge that what Jesus is doing is what he wants to do in us often. Because how many of you have ever sinned? Most of us, looks like. All of us. And it's not just if I were to say, so any idea how many times? Oh, who of us keeps counts? Yeah, it's just, and of course that's discouraging if we just focus on that, because we're like, gosh, is there any hope? And what, didn't I become a Christian? Isn't that supposed to change everything? Well, yes, and it does. But what it changes is that we have a relationship with Jesus, and so that when we do sin, we do mess up, we get to let Jesus restore us. And doesn't want to just leave us in our messing up and just like, oh well, you're saved, not to worry about it, see you up in heaven. But on the other hand, he doesn't, you know, come to condemn us every time either. There is no condemnation, but there is restoration. And Jesus wants to restore. And I think a lot of us don't allow, myself included, don't allow the Lord to bring restoration so that we can, I mean, denying Christ at the point of his greatest need. You know, I love it when I'm faithful, when I do the right thing. But when I don't, when I fail and do the wrong thing, yeah, it's just, what an idiot. What did I mean, we just kind of, we're so quick to whip ourselves. Yes? We are. And if we could let go of it and get on it, get past it on our own, that'd be one thing. But to allow the Lord to bring that word of restoration that says, you know what? I know that you messed up, but you know what? There's something that's more important. There's something not only can I forgive you, but I've got, this is in the past. This is in the past. Let's move forward. Let's go. This was yesterday. This happened yesterday. Let's go forward. I got there's work to be done. There's lives to be served. There's lives to be touched. There's walls to come down. There's much to happen. And if we spend all of our time, and lamenting, that's where we'll stay. And the need is to let the Lord breathe that fresh word that says, hear my voice. Follow me. Follow me. I'm not staying there. We're not staying at this place, at this point of failure. We're moving on. And our part needs to be, yes, Lord. What about Bill? You know, what about Brenda? Leave Bill and Brenda alone. Well, don't necessarily leave them alone, but let your eyes be focused on the Lord and not on them. And give them the freedom, give each other the freedom to follow the Lord as He's leading. And note the fact that it's not just Peter, his calling being reaffirmed. You'll know there's some interesting parallels between this fish story and the one in Luke 5 where the other time that they didn't catch, and he says, you know, put out into the deep, and there are just some interesting parallels there. I won't spend much time doing that, but it's after that Jesus calls Peter and some of the other guys and says, hey, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. Notice that in this fish story, that the calling changes a bit. It's not so much just fishers of men, but what's the change here? He's changed from a fisherman to a shepherd, a pastor, if you will. But lest we are too quick to put titles and offices as though that's all he's speaking to, it's simply, you know, care for the brethren. You know, live your lives in a manner that's not just for yourself, but tending, leading, feeding, caring. And you know, the good thing is that it's, you know, follow, the reason I wanted to go back and kind of pick up this and bring, kind of, you know, drag it into the book of 1 Peter is because the time frame, there's not much time. Easter Sunday happens, the Resurrection Sunday, a week. I don't know how it took them a few days just to get from Jerusalem up to the north shore of the Galilee. The scripture isn't real clear when this took place, but we know the time frame in which it took, because it's just a few weeks later the day of Pentecost comes, where Jesus ascends into heaven and then the Holy Spirit descends on the church. And who rises up and becomes the mouthpiece? Peter does. Only this time he's not just, you know, shooting off his mouth. He is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he preaches, and like a couple of times he preaches there the day that Jesus ascends, and then the day of Pentecost, a powerful message, and thousands of people come to know the Lord. And of course he doesn't stop there. It becomes, you know, impacting in the lives of the church and does feed and tend the sheep, but simply because he's following the Lord's lead. He caught what Jesus was saying. And I think that there's something that it's not that our confession isn't important, but more important than our confession is our following, our faithfulness to obey and follow the Lord's lead. And so I think even just this morning that the Lord would ask, do you love me? And I think, most of us would nod our heads. Maybe some of us would even, jump to our feet. Yes, Lord, without a doubt, with all of my heart, I love you. And then the Lord would just simply say the same things that he said to Peter. Then follow me. Do what I ask you to do. And that being far more important than the statement of how much. My daughter, I remember with Kimber, we used to, talk about how much we loved each other. You love me this much? And she would, just as 2 years old, I love you, just this much. And of course, Dad just, loves it when we have, I let her win every time, soaked it up. But it's not so much that how big a claim or boast can we make, as much as it is that how attentive can we be to wait for the voice of the Lord and listen to him. And I made reference, I actually made several references during the message to both what Julie and Joe shared earlier. And so parallels what God would be speaking to us this morning is, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to wait? And are we willing to follow? Close your eyes, if you would. Let me just ask a couple of other questions as we conclude our time this morning. Maybe you need the restoration. Maybe that's what the Lord would need to speak to you this morning, just the restoring, something where you need to confess to the Lord. Lord, would you restore me? Would you forgive me? And if that's the case, I just encourage you to do that, even as I'm preparing to pray. And maybe some of you just need to listen. Lord, are you talking to me? Lord, I've been so busy. And maybe you're just needing to allow the Lord to speak to you. And then maybe you know what the voice of the Lord is, but you're being apprehensive to allow him to lead. And maybe your response needs to be, maybe there's someone that say, Lord, okay, Lord, you lead. Which side of the boat, Lord? Oh, I'm not supposed to be in the boat at all, Lord? A different direction, Lord? Maybe the Lord wants to fill you. He told the disciples the shortly after when he first appeared, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit to fill you this morning. Bottom line is, will you follow him? Lord, we pray that you would speak to each heart, each of our hearts this morning. Lord, you speak. How do you do this, Lord? Even in a room of this size, it's still speaking individually to each of our hearts. God, help us to hear your small, that small, quiet voice. But Lord, help us to be attentive and not so concerned with our promises, as more interested in your promises and your faithfulness and our response to be obedient and to follow you. Lord, help us. Lord, would you bring restoration where restoration is needed? Lord, would you bring clarity of spirit that we would recognize your voice without a doubt? Lord, would you bring a depth to our commitment to follow you and to be able to serve you, to serve each other? Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We do love you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. I would encourage if you would like someone to pray with you before you leave this morning, take advantage of that. Sometimes we hear the admonition, to feed. Sometimes we need to ask. I need to be prayed for. I need a touch. I just need a brother or a sister to agree with me. So take advantage of that opportunity. May God's grace and his power and his voice lead each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy the sunshine.
So what'd you do with that wood? It's been bugging me. Because I went back over there yesterday and I just went, where'd it go?
Oh, I took it down to the dump or to the...